Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Jackson stays in the block. Jackson fires, and that will be intercepted in the end zone by Johnson. Karen Johnson. And only Jackson can stop him now. Too late to the end zone. Touchdown.
Well, well, well. 4 years ago today, the iconic Taron Johnson pick six of Lamar Jackson. The last time the Bills were in the AFC Championship game, 2020, and that helps lead them to that AFC Championship game against Kansas City. 17-3 win over Baltimore. I heard Joe DiBiase talking about this play when I was driving in this morning. I could not agree more. As much as, like, in the moment, I was losing my mind. I had my dog in my lap, and I'm, like, trying to, like, stand up and cheer the whole thing.
Oh, I ran around outside. I was ecstatic. Oh, yeah.
But watching the highlight back now, it is a little weird because there's no fans. It does not have the same feeling that some of these other highlights have, even though it is one of, personally for me, the best play I've seen live for the Bills in my lifetime. The highlight itself, going back to it, does not have the same feel now.
No, and it is funny, though, like watching the highlight and you know, like, because the Bills had that little TV set up in the end zone,
yeah,
for the fact that, you know, the games were, there were no fans. But when you're watching and they pan out and they show like the wide shot from behind the players, you can see like 5 or 10 people like run down the steps, like, and just run along the wall, like where people normally are. But those were all walled off and they were all covered up and everything like that. And it's just kind of funny seeing all those people being able to run down those stairs where they probably normally couldn't go and jump up on the wall. Like, just everything that went on that season was just bonkers. Like, the game in Arizona, I think, was that year too, where the game got moved to Arizona because of wildfires.
Against San Francisco.
Yeah. Like, just everything that went on that year was crazy, just to see, like, with no fans in the stands and everything like that.
But I've said it a lot too. I'm like, that's the best I felt going in the playoffs until this year. I loved that team. They were so sudden. It went from a team that was like, oh, they're really good. We don't really know about the quarterback yet. Like, he's fun. He's a weapon. You don't know about him totally as a quarterback. 2020 was the year Allen became the Allen we've been living with since.
Was that the year after he started, like, really tweaking his throwing motion?
Was the continuation. He did it from 18 to 19, and then 19 to 20 was kind of like that final form to what we see now, where he's got a little bit of the Aaron Rodgers, he jumps up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You saw it in the Curtis Samuel, where, like, he's almost like falling away and he sidearms it.
Same with the Ty Johnson one too.
He throws the ball a lot like Aaron Rodgers, and that was sort of the culmination to it. But also, like, I mean, I talk about the 2020 season a lot too, just because I'll never forget it because of COVID and being stuck inside and stuff like that. But it was also, you know, that first game, they got Stephon Diggs, they beat the Jets, Allen throws his first 300-yard game, and you're like, all right, like, let's go. It took 3 years, but we're there. Like, awesome.
Yeah.
And he already had iconic moments as well. You had the leap over Anthony Barr in his rookie year. You have the fumble picked up and run through against Dallas on Thanksgiving. The Dallas Thanksgiving game for a long time for me was my favorite Bills game ever. Yep. And then 2020, like, the first 4 weeks against the Jets, against the Dolphins, against the Raiders, and against the Rams – it got to a certain point where, like, I'm like, he's never going to throw under 300 yards again. Like, this is
unbelievable.
Yeah,
because there was a long streak where it looked like he was going to throw, like, very consistently like that. And it's obviously like gotten better since then, but just seeing that jump from 2019 to 2020 was so cool to see.
And that Taron Johnson play kind of was the culmination of the whole thing of like, the Bills are here, welcome to the party. I even mentioned it too, because I saw a Washington fan mention that, you know, they were 21 years old and their win over Tampa was their first playoff win.
Yeah.
And like, it was unbelievable. Like, no one can take them away from it. And I agree, because for me, the win against Indianapolis still sits with me because that was the first playoff win I'd seen. The drought is awesome. I love killing the drought, but I've openly mentioned it that like I didn't care about the Jacksonville game. I just cared that we didn't have to worry about
the
making
drought.
The playoffs, the drought.
Yeah.
We can now move forward into like being competitive and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It felt like a lot of like the toxicity with the program had washed away with it, even though the team was not all that talented yet. It was a rebuild roster that made it. They got there off a turnover differential and kind of just like in the moment plays kind of deal. It wasn't like a sustained. For goodness sake, Nate DePeterman started a game. Tyrod had a game where he threw for like 70 yards. Like,
yeah,
there was like pain in that, where 2020 was just awesome. It's the home playoff game. No, there wasn't a huge crowd, I think, really at all against the Colts, but they won it. I remember leaving work early and just kind of this feeling after they won it of like my sports life had changed.
Mm-hmm.
That now it was like I wasn't watching, you know, guys like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers only, and being like, you know, oh man, I'm never going to know what that life is like.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it was like, I know what that life is like now. And you know, I don't want to say people forget, but there was like that feeling going into 22 of like, you know, McDermott's 0-2 in the playoffs. They had lost to Houston the year prior. You know, now this is the first home playoff game. It was also close against Phillip Rivers and the Colts.
Yeah, that was a sketchy game.
There was some nerves to that game.
That was like Jonathan Taylor like starting to show that he's Jonathan Taylor and all of that. And I just remember like just the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
The intensity in that game was just so high. But eventually they end up winning it.
Yeah.
Quick bit of trivia for you. You might know this, but what number was Taron Johnson wearing in that pick six?
He's 24.
Okay.
Way right. better.
I figured you'd know better. It, but I just wanted to see if I could stump you.
Every cornerback that wears a number in the 20s is awesome. That's why I say Christian Benford is purposely wearing 47 for mental games.
No, he knows.
I saw someone on Twitter say
that
months ago.
Number. He knows it's the right number.
I can't remember who said it. Like a few months ago I saw it and I was like, that's exactly what I've been thinking, is he wears 47 purely to get in wide receivers' heads. Like, no great cornerback's going to wear 47. Are you joking?
Now there is one.
Apparently there is one now. But, like, now CBs wear, like, a number in, like, the single digits and, like, the 20s. And he's like, 47, baby. He did that at Villanova. Like, it's completely on purpose. I wish I remember who said that, because it's not my original thought. But I just remember seeing it and going, that's what I've been feeling. Josh tweets in about that Taron Johnson game, too. I cry when a limited crowd forced a false start in the division game 4 years ago. That's Buffalo, go Bills.
Well, and that's
two false starts, I believe.
Yeah. It's going to be key. I mean, I mention this a lot. It is hard to win road playoff games. And when you do have a player like Lamar Jackson who has the stigma around him of not being all that great of a playoff performer, it is something you have to notice. Now, we could be in the second quarter and going, we ain't getting a bad playoff game from Lamar Jackson, guys. Better zip up our jackets and get ready. Like it's gonna be a long night.
That's the one thing I always remember too, is like Lamar Jackson said that game was hard to play in.
Mm-hmm.
There was only 6,000 Bills fans there. There's gonna be 70,000 this weekend. Like it's not even gonna be close to the same. I think that honestly, I know.
How many times has he played in Buffalo?
Just the one time, I think.
No, because they had a game in 19. 2019.
Yeah. That was the wind game. Trey White picked up their playbook on the sidelines because it kept getting blown all over. But I was at that game. That was actually my first Bills game ever, funny enough. That was my first Bills game. I'd never gotten to get to one earlier. But, yeah, I remember being at that game, how windy it was and how cold it was. It was like the beginning of December.
Yeah,
so.
It's 2019,
yeah.
And then the 2020 divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And 19, the Bills, I mean, let's be serious here. They were not what they are now.
No.
Even with that crowd. And to be fair, you're like a better run route from John Brown from tying that game up. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And then 2020, there's no fans or a very limited amount of fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, that could be something that really plays into how this game goes. I'm excited. Nervous. Yeah. The nerves are starting to come in. Monday and Tuesday, I was just excited for the game. The nerves are starting to come in. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to Ken next. Ken, how are we doing today?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
I just wanted to comment on that Baltimore fan that called. I mean, he's got a right to say what he's got to say,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm going to say what I got to say. when he was saying something about our offense is no good, Josh Allen's got a lot of weapons to go to. Plus, there's other stuff that they could do if they want to put in, like, example, two running backs. They could do that and get their defense thinking, hey, what are they doing? You know, and all that. They got Shamir, they got Coleman, they got the guy they got from Cleveland.
Mark Cooper, yep.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't think of it. And then who's the other guy that begins with an S?
Samuel? Mm-hmm.
And then wasn't there the guy they got from Philly that they used on occasion to get touchdowns to?
I mean, Mac Hollins played in Philly. Yeah, he played in Philly like his rookie year, but they signed him as a free agent.
He's been doing pretty good for us. He's got touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, once he's gotten his role, he's been very good. Ken, thanks for the call. I think the thing with the Bills' weapons, I think this is where and why Joe Brady's getting a lot of credit. He's using the weapons they have in very deliberate roles. You saw in the beginning of the season, namely when they did play Baltimore and Houston, there kind of was this, no one really knew where to be. Mac Hollins is their number one. He's getting like 9 targets, and it's just like, oh, what are we doing here? It's not right. They're sending deep shots to him. But you're seeing now, like, Curtis Samuel is healthy, and for 2 weeks in a row, he's led the Bills in receiving yards, albeit one of them against the Patriots, where it was Mitchell Trubisky and Mike White starting at quarterback.
Right, yeah.
But he did lead the Bills in receiving, and you saw a big play from him that you haven't seen all year. Shakir is a great yak weapon. I like Cooper just because he has had moments where you're like, there he is. Like, that's the guy you traded for. And then even when he doesn't, he's had a lot of moments, too, of just you're spreading the defense out. And then, of course, you have Allen. They don't have the named guys. They don't have a single 1,000-yard wide receiver. I'm still waiting for Dalton Kincaid to, like, truly become the Kincaid of the first round. We're still waiting on it. I don't totally know if Allen and him are on the same page or if they just don't totally know how to use him as, like, okay, he's going to be one of your leading receivers. Mm-hmm. I'll even say, like, the deep ball that he caught, it wasn't really a catch. I mean, if they challenged it, there's a good chance that's coming back. You know, I think they have good weapons. I won't be surprised, though, if like one of their picks in the second round, they draft another receiver. Because Cooper's,
I hope they do.
Yeah, because Cooper's 30. Mac Collins is a good receiver, and I like him a lot more personality and the grittiness that he brings, like a gunner on special teams out of nowhere. But
he's not a long-term solution by any means. I mean, and he could stay on the team. Like, if they re-sign him, he could stick around.
I'd love to re-sign him to a one-year deal.
But at the same time, like, he's not the long-term answer. Like, if you go out and get a young wide receiver in the draft.
Matthew Golden.
I was going to say his name, but I didn't know if he'd be upset at me.
Kidding. He's going to be gone by then. It's tough.
Take him in the first round.
He might already be gone by then.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. Never mind. But regardless, like, I think that the way that these receivers are all working right now is great, and it's perfect.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But I wonder if they can replicate it. And that's not a conversation for today, obviously, because that's more of an off-season thing. But at the same time, you do kind of think about, like, how well everything has gone for this offense and how it can keep going. Because I think it can keep going in this season, but it's just you kind of wonder about, like, what the long-term effects are of it.
I think the Bills kind of told you the long-term effects. They had to make a trade for Amari Cooper. Like they know even as much as the Everyone Eats has worked now, they also had to fix it. They had to tweak it a little bit, which is what good teams do. I mean,
and
Chiefs have started out slow on offense. They've kind of figured it out. They went and got Hopkins. Baltimore kind of had their ups and downs in the beginning of the season. They figured it out on defense, and now they're moving forward. Like, good teams do that. Mm-hmm. But that's where I would be surprised if, like, the fourth round came around in this year's draft and the Bills hadn't had a receiver, unless, like, they did something in free agency. And even then, you look at the guy that they spent money on this offseason, Curtis Samuel.
Hasn't worked out so far.
Yeah, you can blame injuries, but ultimately, it hasn't worked out to the degree that you wanted it to work out to. Now, look, if he's all of a sudden like performing in the playoffs, I don't care. The regular season be damned, I don't care.
Right, yeah.
But you do want that sustainability where you don't have to keep retooling a unit every single year. And that's where, you know, they've added Keon Coleman. I'd love them to add another outside guy. I'm not saying it has to be in the first round. I actually would much prefer them add an edge rusher or a defensive tackle, especially with how the NFL has shifted again to sort of the running game, and you have to be able to stop that Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, what have you. And, you know, Baltimore's not going away.
Right.
So
right.
You might want to gear up to stop both them and Kansas City. Where they're kind of set up to just stop Kansas City.
I think the overarching point, though, to bring it back to just this game this week is The fact that Amari Cooper is here in this offense now and he wasn't here in week four, I think will make a big difference.
I think so too.
Even if he doesn't really do anything. It, like we've talked about before, is if he can just be that guy that's basically like a distraction, you're going to open up Keon Coleman. You're going to open up Shakir. You brought up the fact that their cornerbacks, Baltimore's cornerbacks, are undersized. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, Coleman and even Cooper can have good moments against that. And Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox as well. So I really do think that you can pick apart the matchups. Like, obviously, like, as a whole, offense versus defense, it's a bit of a...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's kind of right in the middle, but when you look at the specific spots in the defense and the offense, like the wide receivers match up very well against their cornerbacks.
Yeah.
But maybe not so much against, you know, offensive defensive line. Like that's another conversation. So I think there's a lot of layers to that and a lot of layers to this matchup, but that's what you get when you have two incredible teams that are going to play probably the best game of the last two seasons.
Yeah. Let's go next to Adam here. Adam, how are we doing today?
Yeah, not too bad, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just real quick on the golf simulators, just a word of advice. Make sure you do a few warm-up swings before you get in there and start cranking away. I made that mistake the other day, and I was paying for it.
That's exactly what my fear is. I'm going to go in there and be like, I can drive this 250 even though I've never done that before, and just I pull every muscle in my back.
Yeah, give yourself some warm-up swings. Mm-hmm. I didn't, and I wish I would have. I think one thing for me when it comes to this game, I think nobody's really talking about it, and I think it's because we haven't really seen it all year, are the designed Allen runs. We saw that a little bit more in the Denver game. They basically run him out of shotgun. It's like a quarterback sweep with like a pulling guard or tackle. I mean, it's good for like 6 to 8 yards every single play. And I think they've been saving it for this exact reason. You know, you haven't really seen it much throughout the year. We've almost kind of like gotten a little annoyed with it as to how much has kind of gone away from the offense. And I saw it a few times in the Denver game and I'm like, okay, here it is. And they're going to use this. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Baltimore is going to get their yards. It's going to come down to red zone defense and us keeping them out of the end zone and making them kick field goals while we score touchdowns. That's the only way this is going to work, and that's the only way we're going to win. And I think everybody keeps on waiting for, you know, okay, like Amari Cooper is going to pop off, or, you know, Dalton Kincaid is going to pop off. I think Josh Allen running the football is going to be what's going to pop off in this game. And it wouldn't surprise me if at the end of the day you look at the box score and you see 12 to 15 Allen runs for 80 to 100 yards on top of another 200, 250 passing, and that's the difference in the game. So I think nobody's really talking about that. We know how Allen likes the physical contact. Our offensive line is out of their minds right now. So I really think that, to me, is the missing component that nobody's really giving any credit to going into this game. And I'm excited for Sunday, guys. So thanks for taking my call, and I'll hang up and listen.
Adam, man, thanks for the call. Yeah, and that was a big thing 2 years ago, kind of the discussions of when are they going to kind of chill on letting Allen kind of run and stuff like that. And they did sort of get away from it where, yes, he would still scramble and such, but as you brought up, it's more the design run. It's more taking it out of shotgun. And I like to always kind of compare it to that Cam Newton year in Auburn college stuff where he would be in shotgun, he would take it, and it was literally just essentially a QB sneak out of shotgun. You find the hole and you go. You're just bigger than everybody. Allen had eight rushes against Denver for 46 yards. I think you're right, though. It could get up there to maybe double digits, especially if like they do sort of what they did against Denver, where it felt like, to me at least, deliberately setting up third downs or deliberately setting up third and shorts, where they got to a point where it's third and two. I mean, good for you if you stop us on third down. You're not stopping us on fourth down. Their biggest problem early in the game was they weren't nailing the red zone, whether it be penalties to bring them back, a miss to Knox, a missed penalty on Kincaid, what have you. And to Adam's point, I think he's right. I just get nervous with Henry and Jackson also sort of being those ultimate weapons in the red zone. That's tough. That is a tough battle to get into. That's where you're hoping, because I field goal, sure, I think it's going to come down to these teams. If it's fourth and one on like the 15, they're both going for it every time. And you've got to hope that you get a fourth down stop against Josh Allen and or Derrick Henry on either side. And that's why I keep thinking it's going to be an all-time game. It's because it's going to be two teams that know who they're playing and go, I can't give you back the ball. You have to take it from me.
And that's why it's also like, it's going to be a high scoring game, I think, because while both defenses are great, the offenses are just that much better. And I think that there's going to be moments from each team's defense where it's going to be like, yeah, that's a big turning point. But then the offense is going to come right back out and do it again and change the tide right back to wherever it was headed. So it's like, I really do think like the defenses are going to have to, whichever team, like whoever wins, they're going to have one key play that changes everything. Because offense is just going to keep firing all night long, I think. I don't think there's ever a chance, unless playoff Lamar starts to show up, or unless Allen, you know, gets that sugar high Josh thing that everyone was talking about last year. Like, that is the only way you start to break things down. But if both offenses are firing on all cylinders, it's going to take one mistake from the defense or one mistake from the offense, I should say.
And that's where it is something where, you know, Baltimore being the second highest team in penalties this year.
Yeah, right.
That all of a sudden it's like it's just one bad false start on a silent count on the road that takes it from it was fourth and one to it's fourth and, you know, five.
Yep. And are you gonna risk it?
Or it's third and five, and it's third and ten, and it's now tough. And that is to me where it maybe comes into play, where the Bills will have the home crowd to their advantage. The Ravens won't be. And that's where if you can start off fast and not go on these slow starts, you can keep up with them. You can maybe take Derrick Henry to a certain extent, to as most as you can, out of the game, where for right now, you can't necessarily do that. And it's a little worrying, kind of where I'm at. To start this week, I couldn't wait. I was just excited. I'm like, two great teams going after it. The closer we get, the more I'm like, oh hell, like, Sunday's gonna be hard. Sunday's gonna be a rough ride. And not even the first playoff game on Sunday. Like, I'm gonna have to wait till like 5 o'clock coming to work. I'm gonna have to wait the whole day.
Right.
What am I supposed to do?
Watch the other game.
Ooh, great. It's awesome. I'm going to watch another team.
Eagles win. Rams?
They would be Eagles Rams, yes.
Yeah.
They start at 3 o'clock. That game's also supposed to be super cold.
Really?
Which, like, yeah, I'm gonna watch an LA team with Stafford go out in the cold. Blow out. Probably. I assume.
I don't know. I like Stafford.
I like Stafford a lot. I'm just, you know, outside in Philadelphia. I don't love that for you guys.
Right.
Speaking of the playoff games, though, because you got to run after this segment, we're going to have Sal Capaccio up next. Let's run through these games. We've got four divisional round games coming up. It starts Saturday, 4:30, Texans at Chiefs. Right now, Kansas City's heading at around 8.5, 9-point favorite. Does not look great.
This is a spread, like, we talked a lot about the Bills-Broncos spread last week and if it was inflated or not. This feels like an inflated spread.
It does a little bit.
I don't think that it's going to be that bad. I do wonder if C.J. Stroud can kind of show up, because he did not really do that last week. But I'm going to unfortunately have to pick the Chiefs here.
I am also going with the Chiefs. I think a good run for the Texans, but I said it if it was like Texans and Pittsburgh. It was like if when that was potentially a matchup, it also became Texans Chargers. But it was like, you'll win this game. You'll technically call it a successful season, only to be run over by Kansas City. Next up, the second Saturday game, 8 o'clock, Washington at the Lions. Washington having a dream season. First playoff win since 05. They seem to have found their franchise quarterback, Daniels. If he continues on this trajectory, maybe the best quarterback in the NFC by the end of next year. Mm-hmm. But they do seem to be punching above their weight class. They go for it a lot on fourth. And it also took a doinked-in field goal to beat Tampa Bay, who's also kind of playing above its weight class. And with that, I'll take the Lions, also sitting around a 9.5, 10-point favorite.
I really want to pick Washington.
It's just so fun.
They are such a fun team where you just like you really want to root for them. But I think it's going to come to an end. I think Detroit's too good, even though they have all their backups still. I think they're such a well-run team that they're just going to – it's going to be just, hey, let's just go out there and do our jobs once again.
Yep.
So –
next up, Sunday, 3 o'clock start time. Another big spread here. Rams at the Eagles, 6.5 to 7-point favorite for the Eagles. Can understand that one. I think they match up just really well with the Vikings. They beat them twice this year. I don't think they match up all that particularly well against the Eagles. The idea of Stafford not very mobile going against that Eagles defense. Hurts may not even have a good game. A.J. Brown might have another one-catch game.
Right.
And it still feels like...
Well, they have Saquon.
Yeah, but it feels like the Eagles kind of just like put you in a chokehold and wait for you to go to sleep.
Yep.
It may not be pretty. It may not be the coolest thing in the world. But to me, they're the most talented team in football. Roster-wise, they're the most talented team in football.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go the Eagles.
I do think if Jared Verse has another great game, which, to be fair, against the Vikings, it's not that hard to have a great game.
Also, I can't imagine you're gonna do 9 sacks again.
Right. But I think of him more in the fact of stopping that run of Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder if he'll be as big of a factor as he was last week. This is another one where I'm like, I really like the Rams. I really want to pick the Rams, but I just think that the Eagles are, like you said, they're just going to kind of subdue you enough and then just put the game away. Yeah. So I'm going to go Eagles.
Then the next up, Sunday Night Football, Ravens at the Bills. Baltimore has now become the favorite, at least for right now. We'll see if that line changes. They're about a 1-point favorite on the road. Unfortunately for me, we've talked a lot about it. I've said how nervous I am. I am going to go Baltimore. I think I'm going to go Baltimore.
Interesting. I will not be saying my pick as per usual, but if you could see what hat I was wearing right now, you'd know who I pick. And it's a team that has a blue
color. It's not Baltimore.
It's not Baltimore. I don't own a Ravens hat, so there you go.
All right, we're going to let you get out of here. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up after a quick timeout, though, for more on Bills and Ravens. Bills did return to practice yesterday. We'll hear from Sal Capaccio. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.